Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, March 24th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Exodus chapter 9 and we'll be reading verses 1 through 12 today. But I wanted to do a little recap of the plagues that we've seen so far. First, we saw the water turn to blood, then the plague of the frogs, then there were the gnats, and remember with the gnats, the magicians could not reproduce this same miraculous event. Then there were the flies that we read about yesterday, and today we get to the plague on livestock and also the plague of boils. Starting in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, donkeys, and camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh investigated and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on people and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it in the air, and festering boils broke out on people and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. And now let's move over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 92, and I never noticed before that it says in the little subscript, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord! How profound your thoughts! Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. And now let's move over to the Gospel of John. Today we are in John chapter 19, starting in verse 28, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. The title in my Bible says, The Death of Jesus. later, knowing that everything had been finished and so scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled: "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Did you notice here in John 19 that several times the author mentions that prophecy was fulfilled? Yesterday I talked about that, and today we see it in verses 36 and 37. One prophecy was, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And this comes from several scriptures, but Psalm 34 and verse 20 is one of them. And then, "They will look on the one they have pierced." And this is a reference to Zechariah 12:10. So if you have time to go back to those verses, it would be maybe a good thing for you to do. Also, as I encouraged you yesterday, if you have time this week to read Psalm 22, it's just a beautiful psalm. It has so many references to the crucifixion and to the fact that God is doing something that we cannot understand, perhaps, in the crucifixion. And in the end of the psalm, it is triumphal when it says that he has done it, as Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished." As we enter into prayer today, we want to thank the Lord for his finished work. And we also want to pray for those in our lives whose names start with E. So take a minute to think about it. I hope you have found your directory somewhere in your junk drawer and you have it out and are referencing it. But if you're on a walk or you can't do that, just take some time to think about those in our fellowship whose names start with E. I'll give you a hint today. One of my children's names starts with E. Okay, let's pray. Father, you are eternal. You are our everlasting Father. You are exalted. You are excellent beyond measure. And so we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for this story of scripture today, especially for reading about how you gave of yourself on the cross so that the work could be finished, that you substituted yourself for us so that we sinful people could have righteousness as we put our faith in Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those in our midst whose names start with E. We pray your blessings on them. Would you help them on their journey? Would you help them to be the people that you have called them to be? Whatever is behind their eyes today, Lord, would you continue your work and would you draw them near? Thank you for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to draw near to you. We pray, Lord, that you would be at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us, that you might be our rock eternal. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.